When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com to sign up today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Nick and Alex Baseball Show, where we are sad baseball takes a four-day break. I'm Nick Pollock, and I'm joined by the vindicative Alex Fast.
Vindicative?
Yeah. Vindictive? I meant vindictive. I meant vindictive.
I don't know. Why do you think I'm vindicative? And now I'm all thrown off. I'm coming in hot. I just got off work. I got nice piece of string cheese here. And I don't care about me. I don't care about you because there's a person here that is more important than both of us combined.
It's true.
She's a celebrity. She's smarter about baseball than us. Yes. She's got a team that's in the World Series. We don't have any of those things.
No, we don't.
And none of that.
And she's always there. That's Ellen Adair.
It's me. Welcome, the Ellen Phillies Adair. Are in the World Series. The rest of it, complete baloney.
Absolutely not. We can't thank you enough for being back the second time on the show. And Ellen, I can't believe it. Here we are. Phillies are in the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, I had to come back because neither of you ever picked the Phillies to be in the World Series on the Nick and Alex Baseball Show.
Yeah, we messed that up.
And the week that I guest co-hosted, I was all ready to pick the Phillies, in a kind of like Homer way. But I was like, they could squeak into the postseason. And then, as we all know, in the postseason, anything could happen. So, here I am. The Phillies. That's my pick for who's going to win the World Series.
I messed that up so much. It was T-ball and I just spun in the box, where I didn't let you do that one. So we're going to talk, of course, about both League Championship Series. Obviously, we have Ellen here for the first half of this podcast to talk all about that. But tradition is tradition. We have a pitcher of the week, and this pitcher had 155 innings, a 3.65 ERA, 1.33 WHIP, a 19% strikeout rate, 8.8% walk rate, throws a 92-mile-per-hour fastball, CSW just about 26-27%, sub 10% swing strike rate, and about 25% hard contact. Who do you guys think it is this week? Ellen, we'll start with you.
I'm a visual learner, so I have no idea.
What? Yeah. Do you have a visual we can see? What is this?
I do, but you're not going to get it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the listeners won't get it at this point in the postseason.
I'll give you this: 57% ground ball rate, fifth best in the majors. There's a little extra hint. They went 10-7 this year. They are in the World Series.
I mean, Ranger Suarez.
Okay, Ranger Suarez is a guess. At least we got a guess now. Fast.
I was going to say that before,
because I know he's like around there in terms of ground ball rate, like less good this year than he was in the previous years. But like, I want to say like fifth through eighth best ground ball rate for starting pitchers. Fast. That's going to be my, anyway.
What was the innings total?
155. Yeah. We got a speed run here fast.
What was the ERA?
3.65.
Oh, all right, it's Ranger Suarez.
It's got to be Ranger Suarez. Yeah, it's
no, it actually is.
Ellen is correct, and that's a good segue into talking about the LCS, because Ranger Suarez, honestly, we saw it against Atlanta, where he showed up and he dueled against Max Fried and helped them survive. That we talked about it as just Nola and Wheeler, the only ones there. But Suarez, at his part, closed out the LCS as well. That has to be one of these elements, Ellen, that you're going to talk about with the Phillies, not just being Bryce Harper, Aaron Nola, and Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, I mean, I think, it's the sort of baseball truism, but I think what we're seeing with the Phillies right now is that basically everybody is contributing. And if they're not contributing at literally their ceiling, they are contributing in a good way. They are more or less the good version of themselves. I think Ranger Suarez was even better in that game on Friday that you and I watched together.
Yes.
And remembered that moment that we had the argument about Ranger Suarez like last postseason. Because I remember, and I was recalling this, that I was too optimistic, but I was like, I don't know. I think he could be a 3.5 ERA guy. And you were like, that's shh.
I was like, get out of here.
Not
right.
that off. I was like, you consider myself a realist optimist. And I feel like 3.65 ERA, like pretty close.
You should be thrilled about that for Ranger Suarez.
I am very thrilled. Yeah, particularly with the start that he had for the season. So yeah, I mean, it really just comes down to, is his changeup working? And, you know, like on Friday, it was working better. And he's got that curveball that he has just introduced this year, and the cutter, and both of those were working pretty well on Friday. So yeah, I mean, I feel like also him coming in, obviously, to close the game, not complete insanity, given that last year in 2021, he was the closer for a little while in the completely unsettled Phillies bullpen before they were like, I think we need you even more in the starting rotation. Right. So he had that experience. And, you know, there was a really wonderful story from in the Inquirer about the, you know, this sort of conversation between him and Sir Anthony Dominguez about him being like, you know, no, I'm going to go out and I'm going to be in the bullpen with you guys in case you need me. And lo and behold, he was instrumental. And, you know, it felt to me so emblematic of one of the things that Suarez does so well is that he's just very athletic. You know, he played soccer. I think even when the Phillies signed him, he was also potentially like a position player. I don't remember exactly which position, but so that's why he's so good at fielding his position. And so that last inning also came down to him fielding a bunt attempt in the ninth in the wet grass.
Grisham, yeah.
Yeah. Not, I mean, I don't know. Doesn't seem like the choice to make for me, but
100%. Yeah, very bizarre. I want to like remove the baseball, take off the analyst hat and put on like the pure fan hat. So you can do whatever you want for the segment. But you know, I don't know how much you scroll on TikTok or Instagram, but there was that old like meme template that was like, do you know what love feels like? Do you want me to show you? Nick and I are not in the World Series. What does it feel like to be a fan of a team that's good? What is that like? Because I'm not.
I don't.
Nick certainly isn't. So
I am not. Yeah.
I almost don't know. I almost can't believe it, to be honest. And, you know, I think that this has been the most surprising World Series appearance witnessed of my life, right?
Yeah, I mean,
and this is like 1993 was also a surprising World Series, but that is actually like my first baseball memory. And I didn't know enough to know to be surprised. Like really the main thing I remember is just being heartbroken by Joe Carter. But I feel like I have always loved the Phillies, right? You know, I loved them through like 10 years of not having actually a winning record. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed like they should have put it together before this. And so in some ways, like it seems like it came out of nowhere. And in other ways, I'm like, well, yeah, these are actually the guys that I always thought that they were. And like, mm-hmm. I understand that. And I realize maybe I'm not completely putting the analyst hat off, and maybe I'm still slightly wearing it, but I don't know, maybe I just can't take it off at this point. But I understand that the Phillies have made moves every single offseason to get better, you know what I mean? So like the Bryce Harper signing was like, this is it, now here comes our window, now we're going to be a good team. And I was like, okay, not immediately. Okay, well, we added Zach Wheeler, that's going to be awesome, now we're going to be a good team. And so I think that obviously we were all, and by we, I mean Phillies fans, were very excited by sort of the additions of Kyle Schwarber and Nick Castellanos this past offseason. And like, yay, finally going above the luxury tax, particularly because I felt for the Phillies of, you know, let us say 2019 and 2018, that I was like, these guys are just a little bit away from being like a postseason right. caliber team.
So I do want you to talk a little bit about the bullpen of the Phillies, because that's the one thing that we were talking about being terrified of entering mm-hmm. this. And they came through. There was Sir Anthony showing up and doing some major things. Brad Hand doing whatever. Syndergaard?
Sometimes good, sometimes not so good.
Right. Yeah. What are your expectations for this pen, and what has really worked for them so far?
I mean, what has worked for them so far is that my theory, and this is like based on heavy mathematical analysis, is that they stole the Cardinals' devil magic from them, that they won the Cardinals' devil magic from them by defeating them. You know, of course, sure. the Cardinals, people who are not Phillies fans may not recall, the last time that the Phillies were in the postseason was in 2011, the best Phillies team of my life, right? In terms of expecting,
yeah.
like, this is a World Series caliber team. We're going to the World Series. And they fell in the NLDS to the Cardinals. And my theory was that it was the curse of the rally squirrel. But actually, in the Atlanta NLDS, there was a squirrel seen on the field at Citizens Bank Park. So my theory is, like, you know, the curse of the rally squirrel has been lifted. We, the Cardinals' devil magic has reverted to us. Yes, because I think that the Phillies bullpen certainly was improved this year. And so, you know, to say that I expect it to do 2020, 2021 Phillies bullpen types of things would be incorrect. On the other hand, given the way that Rob Thompson, it just feels like, has really sort of been piecing the quilt together just so that, like, everybody actually has a blanket. Yeah, it does feel kind of like, the hand of the rally squirrel is upon us.
Absolutely.
Just because, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, Zach Eflin closed some games, which,
right.
of course, wouldn't have been the case if Zach Eflin hadn't been injured, right, and could be in the rotation.
Sure.
But he was injured. All he can do is pitch out of the bullpen at this point. So, yeah, we've had Zach Eflin close games. We've had Alvarado close games.
Yeah.
We've had Dominguez close games. Obviously, it's been huge for the Phillies because, you know, he was injured. He came back. He did not look good down the stretch in September. I was very concerned, but it has been amazing in the postseason. You know, on Friday, I was like a little nervous with him going in for the 2-inning save.
I remember I was trying to tell you a story. It was like 6-2. I had checked out. I was like, this game is over. And you're like, no, Nick, no, I'm sorry. I cannot listen to your story. This is so important right now.
Wasn't 4-2 the final score of that game?
Well, like, I just had such confidence in your Phillies
like
at that point.
6-2. I was like,
yeah.
If I was wrong about the score of that game, but it wasn't 6-2. Anyway, yes, it's obviously Ranger Suarez also got a save, you know, sort of gets to join the ranks of like Kershaw and Bumgarner as a pitcher who got a win and a save in the same postseason series.
Cool.
So yeah, it's been unexpected, but it's been incredible that the Phillies have won 2 bullpen games in the postseason.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
like,
that's right.
If I could just go back and like whisper to my past self, like, in 2022, the Phillies are going to win 2 bullpen games in the postseason. I would have dried my tears and been like, oh, well then it's all worth it after all. Yeah. It's been pretty amazing.
Oh, and so, yeah, I mean, I'll say that having Clevinger and Manaea on the other side certainly help create one of the longest first innings ever. The one last thing, so we don't have you for much longer, and I cannot thank you enough for being here, I do want to highlight, Brandon Marsh. We talked about him a bit, him showing up. How did you feel monitoring that Saturday game? I believe you were there in that first inning. And of course, the Harper at bat is insane. And lastly, who your World Series MVP would be?
Oh, Okay, that's so many questions.
So many.
I'm going to try to remember them. So Brandon Marsh, I like obviously very excited about that. I was on MLB Network early in the season being like, the Phillies need to trade for a center fielder. Like if you're running Schwarber and Castellanos out there, you need somebody in center field that you're like, yeah, like we got a guy out there who can catch a ball. Obviously, Nick Castellanos has actually been, my husband Eric and I were yelling in unison, defensive superstar Nick Castellanos, because it seemed like on Saturday he was getting to every single ball, and he finished the divisional series with like an outstanding catch. It was one of the series. I don't know what it actually might have been, the wild card, but like I was like, I would, you know, I watched it go out and I was like, well, that's a hit. And then right. It wasn't. Right. Castellanos sliding stuff. Anyway, so very excited about Brandon Marsh and, you know, hitting much better with the help of Kevin Long, the Phillies hitting coach. And I feel really good about him being on the team now, you know, for like, he's the Phillies center fielder for like the next 5 or 6 years. And I think that he's a sort of underrated deadline acquisition. So that was your first question. What was your second question?
The second question, I mean, so that game, you were at that one on Saturday. Tell us about what that was like. I mean, that first inning was insane.
It was absolute. I mean, the first inning was a whole lifetime. It was its own universe. It wasn't even a whole ball game. It was like, you know, civilizations rose and fell in the course of that one inning. And, you know, I mean, I realized that I said earlier in the podcast that I'm not able to take the analyst hat off. I think that's because I'm on a podcast. Like when I'm at the game, I am a crazy person. I am every Philadelphia fan. I am screaming. I'm swearing. I mean, it helps for me that I have gone through the Christian Linklater vocal progression 3 separate times in different actor training programs. So like I can scream and then go home and record an audition and not lose my voice.
Sure, yeah.
Because yeah, I have a lot of training. But yes, I do scream. I remember because the Aaron Nola start versus Atlanta was my first ever Phillies postseason game that I had been to. And I was so amped. I think the inning where Rhys Hoskins hit that 3-run homer,
oh, yeah,
having, of course, just like kind of given up the previous game with some defensive miscues. Classic Phillies, classic Rhys Hoskins. I don't think I've ever been so happy in my life, or like I've been that happy, and that's as happy as I can get. I was like crazed. I was just screaming. I told Eric, I was like, I feel like a dog looking for something to bite. Like that's how excited I was. So I do, like, I can't imagine a game being more satisfying as a baseball game, as a postseason game, than the game on Saturday.
Absolutely.
Like the, you know, lead changes back and forth, and everybody is as invested in the game as I am in like a regular season game where the Phillies are playing. Everybody's shouting, "Let's go Phillies," and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, I went home and was, because my celebrity crush is Scott Fransky, the radio play-by-play announcer for the Phillies. And so they're doing this like Fransky video broadcast where they're showing him doing some of the calls. And so I watched, it was this call for the second time that Harper doubled in JT Realmuto. But what was so exciting about it when we were watching it live was that JT started to steal second and then Harper had the hit. And I just was at home and I just cried. Like I bawled. I was like, Eric took a picture of me.
Really?
And it, like a video of me being like, it was so beautiful. It was like a classic, like hit and run, like where you saw JT start to steal second. And then Harper hit the double and he scored. Anyway, I lost my mind. It was amazing. I mean, you know, much hay has been made about how loud Citizens Bank Park is. And I know Minute Maid Park can also be very loud, partly because it's domed. But yes, sure. I was at both of the games that I was attending. I did my very best to have Citizens Bank Park register on the Richter scale.
Amazing. So the last thing here, because we know you got to go. Very quickly, who is the World Series MVP?
I mean,
you can
Bryce Harper feels like the most probable answer.
Bryce Harper.
It's got to be Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Like, Like, it's just hard for it to be a pitcher. So, of course, I want to be like, it's going to be Aaron Nola. He's going to pitch two perfect games. Anyway, but yeah. No, I feel like Bryce Harper. Although, you know, in terms of the Hosk Dongs in this past series, obviously, Aaron Nola would have been... not Aaron Nola, sorry, Rhys Hoskins. I've just got Aaron Nola on the brain. But yeah, Rhys Hoskins hit a lot of really key homers. But I do have these couple of fun facts about Bryce Harper. At this point, he has the most extra base hits in a postseason for a Philly. Wonderful. Of all time. Obviously, we have more postseason games now.
Yeah.
But we haven't yet gotten to the World Series. So, you know, he could...
And also only
could...
5 games in the series, so...
Indeed, right. Yeah. None of their series went as many games as they could have. Every single one they won. Though they are not undefeated, they've only lost twice. Watch out, Houston.
All right.
I have one more fact. Please, I know I need to leave.
Go. Yeah, but this is for your own sake, Ellen.
I know, but I just rather talk to
you all the time. Go.
So this is from Shail Kapadia on Twitter. Sorry that I don't know how to pronounce this person's name. But in the last 15 years, there have been 339 players with at least 40 plate appearances in a single postseason. And of that group, Bryce Harper's batting average this year, .419, and OPS, .1351, rank first. And first.
Wonderful. So Bryce Harper, you heard it here first. Maybe Rhys Hoskins, the Hoss that Rhys built.
He keeps on hitting Hosk Dongs, you know.
But Ellen, thank you so much for joining us. Anything last words you want to give Ellen?
I can't see Ellen. I can't hear Ellen. Hopefully she can see me and hear me just because of some technical issues that we're dealing with. But I'll say two quick things. One, thank you for coming on. And two, my World Series pick for winner will be the Astros solely because it means the Phillies will win. Because every series I have picked against them, the Phillies have won. So really, you're welcome.
Thank you. Thanks. I mean, you know, I'm just hopeful. I feel like if the Phillies can beat the Astros in one game, they'll do better than anybody else is going to do.
Well, Ellen has to go on the radio now. I'm doing this for her. I would just have you for the entire show, of course. But Ellen, thank you so much for joining us today. And after this quick break, we're going to obviously talk about the Houston Astros and a little bit more on the Nick and Alex baseball show. And yes, Fast, you did not get to interrupt me.
Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom has created weight management programs that are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. So stop chasing health trends and join the millions who have lost weight with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
And we're back. That was, okay, first of all, that was wonderful having Ellen Adair on the show. I mean, how could we not? Phillies are in the World Series. The second part of it is that for half of it, Fast could not see or hear Ellen. And the texts that he's sending me about being in a dream, as all he sees are my my reactions and me responding. And I think I hammed it up a little to try and add a little bit of absolutelys and oh yeah and everything. Just for the
here,
torture.
I'll do.
What is going on?
I'll do my impression of what I saw Nick. I'll do my impression of Nick while this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, and you were looking directly at me too, because you're looking at the camera. And I was like, I don't know what's been talked about. I don't know what's being talked about. I don't know how to respond. I feel so and it wasn't even it wasn't anyone's fault. Zencast is, or whatever platform we're using, was doing this strange thing. So we don't know what's going on. Either way, it's still even in the moments that I had earlier on, it is a delight with her. How did she react when how did she react when I picked the Houston Astros?
Oh, she said thank you.
Okay.
And for all your kindness, Fast. But we got to talk about them. One thing I do want to say about that Philly series, The Bryce Harper at bat for the home run, MLB Network had a nice breakdown of it. And it's something I talk about a ton on my YouTube channel about sequencing. And I think they said something really had a good way of expressing it for me, which is Bryce Harper went into that bat expecting something outside, right? And you can see it that he fouled off two 99 mile per hour fastballs away. And he got put upright when they went up and in once. And he spit on this 1-2 changeup, but that's the one we say, oh, what a good take. And I talk about it all the time, the gambit. The next pitch was the 2-2 fastball that he hit over the left field fence. And if you go a second time to that changeup, he won't spit on it a second time. And the analytics say, hey, this is how we do this. And I hate saying the word analytics, whatever, but the information saying this is how you should pitch against Bryce Harper in the situation says you go away. But that should always be the introduction. And then once the at-bat continues, then you have to adjust to what you see.
Yeah.
And that what we saw was Bryce Harper being on away fastballs in that. Up and in works, changeups work at that point, and breaking ball works. But you can't keep going back to the well at this when he keeps fouling it off.
Sure.
There is indication. Watch that at-bat all the way through. You'll see that Harper was going to get one of those eventually, and he did. Changed, of course, the entire series. They're in the World Series now. Props to Bryce Harper for having that plan of attack, knowing how they would go after him, and then taking advantage of that. But there's that battle that makes the game so fun. Video on MLB Network about it.
I think it was him who said this, but it's an important thing that I wanted to bring up. If it wasn't him, it was someone else in the Phillies talking about a different at-bat, but I believe it was Bryce Harper who talked about seeing... who was the name of the pitcher who ended up giving up the home run? It wasn't Pierce Johnson. It was
Suarez.
Yeah, it might have been Suarez. I think it was Suarez. He was talking about an earlier at bat from a previous game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And collecting intel from that and using that intel to bring into this at bat. And it's funny because that sounds like such a rudimentary thing, but it's something that we often don't think about, right? Because we're often thinking about players in bulk, right? How does this pitcher approach these type of hitters? How does this hitter do overall? What is their wOBA? What's their walk rate? What's their K rate? And because we're constantly approaching it in bulk, we forget the nuance of like, oh yeah, Bryce Harper is one person focused on one thing. And of course he remembers this one pitcher and how that one pitcher pitched him a couple of days ago, right? Mm-hmm. And you were so in the moment with these things that we forget about that kind of context, and we forget that how informative those things can be, and especially because of the fact that we rightfully do away with those small sample sizes, right? Like we're like, oh, you know, I always get so frustrated when a broadcast is like, yeah, this batter is 0-3 against this pitcher historically, because you're like, that doesn't matter. But this provides some context that if it's 0-3 and it's been against a reliever that he's seen twice in the past 3 days, there's a little more nuance there. So I thought that was really cool to hear about.
Absolutely. That's a really good way of putting it. And isn't it nice to have a conversation where you can hear and see them?
Yeah, that's also very nice. I do like that a lot. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to move away from the Phillies series. They're in the World Series. We're excited about it. We're going to talk about this Houston Astros Yankees series.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Well, can you call it a series if only one team showed up?
There you go. There it is, fast. Just get them all out right now. What else you got to say about it?
Nothing. I mean, at the end of the day, who am I to talk? I'm an Orioles fan. But at the end of the day, both teams are going to be watching the World Series from their couch. Listen, I this isn't a shock to me. I mean, I know you picked the Yankees. But like,
because I was a homer. I even said it in seven. I couldn't do it in five or six.
I even said the Astros in five. I didn't see a sweep coming. I mean, it's... A part of it is like, listen, that's baseball, you know, like there are a lot of breaks that didn't necessarily go the Yankees way. You know, obviously a lot of people still very upset about the flyout from Judge to right field and the home run. With a 40 batting average for Bregman, you know, some of that stuff. People wanted to complain about the missed fourth ball to Stanton in that game, which was a blown call for sure.
Absolutely. But... and then that turned into a strikeout. Yes, same way it benefited him against Aaron Civale, where he hit that home run also, after the 3-1 called strike.
That game, the umpire auditor on Twitter showed actually benefited the Yankees more so overall than the Astros got benefited from.
Sure.
So, you know, I thought that the Yankees were going to put up a little bit more of a fight. I don't really know who to squarely put the blame on, if there is. Obviously, the media is just going crazy. You know, maybe rightfully so. I don't know. You know, what for you as a, you know, I know you don't really get to speak about this a lot because you try and remain as unbiased as possible. But if you can just go ahead and put the Yankees fan hat on, like, what do you want? Do you want Cashman gone? Is it time to shake it up? Do you want, you know, what, who do you want to go out and see them get? What do you think they need to do to kind of go over the hump?
Yeah, I don't want Cashman gone. I think the Yankee ownership is more held back than they used to be. I think there's also something to be said about their development program. And like, you look at the Astros, it starts with development all the way through. There've been a lot of great articles recently about how their coaching staff works in the minor leagues, how it's not, you know, there came out, said we like winning and stuff. Then of course all the minor league teams lost this year, but there still is something to be said about how the Astros treat their players actually like major leaguers before the minors in many ways. Pay is one thing, but with the resources, with the focus, everything like that. And that's how it should be in every organization. It makes all the sense in the world to do that. The, even from a business standpoint, if you want to even put it that way, which I hate doing with humans, but it's something where, okay, you invest an extra 200K or something into this and with positions, and what do you know? You're going to see more sales, more success as a team as a result. It just makes all the sense in the world to do that. I think the Yankees can do more with it. There is something clearly working with Houston. Now, we can say everything we want about 2017, whatever. This Astros team is unreal. I mean, from the bottom up is just pure talent everywhere. It was so painful as a Yankee fan watching our lineup be just so devoid of any hope.
Yeah.
And then the Astros, everyone did something.
Chaz
Every
McCormick.
Single batter, I didn't even feel, I didn't feel comfortable as a fan watching it, right? And it's not like, oh, we didn't have that pitcher or this thing. Yes, we had a lot of injuries with relievers and stuff. Every team goes through some sort of injuries. Maybe ours are more impactful with the expectations we had entering the season that we would think we would have some of this, and we didn't really. Wandy Peralta being our go-to guy with Loaisiga, who has a sub 20% K rate. I know lots of soft contact, but still not so much, actually, believe it or not, hard contact rate. Not that exceptional across relievers in the league. It just wasn't a full team. It was a shell of a team. And when you look back at the season, you have to think, okay, we have one player who had one of the most historic offensive seasons ever. And without that, what is this team?
Yeah.
You know, how many wins does this team actually get? Are they even in the playoffs? You know, and when you think about it that way, wait a second, that's not the Yankees. The Yankees are supposed to be a team where you fear every single stop of that lineup.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously, I'm saying this from a spoiled Yankee fan perspective, but it does feel like in some ways that the checkbook isn't being opened as it has before. You know, we don't offer that mega deal to a guy. Only Gerrit Cole is the only one I can really think of in the previous 5 years or something like that. Maybe I'm forgetting someone. But yeah, it just feels like, what are we doing here? We're supposed to be that team that does that. Yeah. We are not. And they better go off and get things. They have to in my view. If they don't, it's a failure this offseason. So I'm excited for that as a fan. But yeah, we did not deserve to be in the World Series. The Astros are, I remember watching The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, of course, and talking about the Pistons being like every dynasty, every good team needs to overcome their monster, right? They have defeat the ones that are only in the playoffs, and the Yankees just haven't done that. They don't deserve this.
Yeah.
And all the props to the Astros too. It's not like the Yankees were terrible. It's just the Astros are just better, and that's that.
It's great. I mean, I do think the Yankees are good at dev in a certain way. Like, I think they've got really good, you know, pitching development. Obviously, we've seen them turn on. I think they've got very good player dev. But I think what's kind of crazy is looking at the roster resource page of the Astros right now. Six of the nine players in their starting rotation, in their lineup, are drafted by the Astros. Okay.
Right.
So Altuve, Pena, Bregman, Tucker, Gurriel, and Chaz McCormick are all coming up through their system, which is, I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that no playoff team had more people come internally than them. Right. That just right. It seems like that's the case.
Now keep in mind, there were some acquired by trades in there, but still. Like Alvarez, for example, did not come up with the Astros.
Oh, yeah. No, but I'm saying none of the people I just mentioned were via trade. Everyone I just mentioned was.
Oh, really?
Altuve, Pena, Bregman, Tucker, Gurriel, and Chaz McCormick.
Oh, you didn't mention Alvarez in there. Oh, no. My gosh.
Yeah.
Unreal.
That's they're all through their system. Okay. And then now let's go to the rotation. Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, Lance McCullers Jr.
Right.
Okay. So the acquisitions are obviously huge, and Justin Verlander and Jordan Alvarez, even though Jordan Alvarez was more so a shot in the dark at the time. Right. But that's remarkable, right? And then, you know, the bullpen is still, they've still got four dudes who they drafted. But then you go and look at Philly, and the people who came up through their system are Hoskins, Alec Bohm, who's still, you know, a contributor, and then Bryson Stott, who's platooning. Now, obviously, the rotation is a little bit different. You got Nola, Suarez, and I mean, Bailey Falter, if he is there. But like, so that's it. So there's three players who are coming up through their system. With Houston, like, it's going to be very interesting. We'll talk about the World Series in a second. It's just remarkable. Like, and it really does put an interesting context. I'm not a Houston Astros apologist by any stretch of the imagination. I think what they did was incredibly reprehensible, but one of the things that I was always frustrated about that scandal was the fact that every team did some version of it, right? And I thought that was something that was very buried, and it doesn't make it right, but I think they cast aside every success Houston had, and I think it's time to then throw that out the window, right? Like it's they're clearly, I mean, they were the second best team in baseball by record, best team in the AL by record, have not lost a playoff game since. And again, I'm not apologizing for what they did. I don't think it was good. I do not like that they did it. I think they should have been more punished for it, and they weren't. But I think it's time to divorce that from the fact that they're a damn good baseball team.
Well, right. I mean, that's the thing that I think bothered me a lot, too. I mean, there's two halves of it. I mean, one was the reaction to it, and there was no remorse.
Yeah, of course.
And that might be to what you're saying about everybody's doing some version of it.
Mm-hmm.
They only got caught, but like there was still no like, yeah, we did something that was bad and we regret it and we want to showcase that we don't need it. Because they were really, the main point is that they didn't need it. They were so good.
Yeah.
And this is Astros team that has lost Gerrit Cole, George Springer, Carlos Correa in that time. You know, and they've still not lost a step. Jeremy Pena coming up, filling the holes of Correa, no problem. I mean, their pitching staff being as good as it is, you know, sans Cole. It's, I mean, Chaz McCormick being valuable, you know. Jordan Alvarez, any sort of ding you want to give about Springer, Alvarez is certainly filled up, right? It's absolutely remarkable. And also, Bregman coming back and performing well. He didn't do so well in 2021. And yeah, they did all this and they haven't lost the playoff game without Altuve doing squat. So it truly is incredible what they're doing. And yeah, they are the best team. Yeah. I mean, the Dodgers Astros wouldn't be very fun because I do feel the Dodgers are very deep, but I will say Astros, health-wise in a better situation than the Dodgers when it comes to that rotation. No Walker Buehler, Dustin Magon, you know, Tony Gonsolin, not fully there. Right. And I just feel like, yeah, this is the World Series for the Astros to lose. The Phillies are a very fun thing right now. Kind of reminds me of the 2007 Colorado Rockies. We all knew the Red Sox were the better team, but the Rockies were like the hot team.
Yeah.
The ones that hadn't lost a single playoff game. Then because they swept, they had this long break before the World Series started. And that's what we're seeing now. We've seen this 4-day break. I think the Astros are just going to go in and just trounce them. It's not. I don't think it's close. I'd say. I mean, I'm saying Astros in five. I hope it's the Phillies. I think it's just more fun. The Astros have it. You know. I mean, I know that they want to say like, look, we won 2017, and we want like a real one now because 2019 the Astros beat them and so on. But and you know, 2021 against Atlanta, they want like one that's like, no, we did it without cheating. I totally get that. And who's to say if they really cheat in the World Series? Yeah, but the Phillies, I mean, like, I feel like this is the shot for the Phillies. Mm. Well, the Astros aren't going anywhere. I mean, yeah. This is a dynasty. We're witnessing a dynasty. Even though they haven't won since 2017, the absolute domination of this team at this point, of just always winning the AL West, always being either in the World Series or like right there, it's very much like a dynasty.
It is. It's a really fun matchup because it really is kind of like an unstoppable force versus an immovable object. And because it's the unstoppable force, meaning the Phillies have so much incredible momentum because, you know, they read the papers, you know, they hear the media, they're the team that was the most counted out. They're the number six seed. A lot of people didn't even think they were going to make the playoffs. They thought the Brewers were going to catch up to them. And now here they are, and they're going to be in the World Series. And they're thinking, you know, listen, we took down St. Louis. We took down Atlanta, who everyone thought was going to win the World Series again. And then, you know, we just took care of San Diego. No one can beat us right now. So, and I admire that. I mean, I think it's awesome to watch them have that confidence, and they should. But now they're coming up against a team that hasn't lost a playoff game so far, has taken every other criticism that every other team in their position dealt with, which is, oh, well, they had a couple of days off, so maybe they probably lost their rhythm. And they threw that out the window with one swing of Yordan Alvarez's bat in game one against Seattle. They've been thrown as much adversity with these off days, and it still hasn't impacted them. What I'm curious to see is, like, is there anything that happens if they lose, right? Is that the kind of counterpunch that kind of knocks them down for a second? But I'm kind of inclined to believe that they're so headstrong and they're such a tight core of dudes who have been there before that even if they do, they'll be able to shake it off. You know what I mean? They seem like they're very good at taking it game by game, moment by moment. And it would be tough to imagine a war, you know, like I said earlier, like I've counted out Philly a lot. I think maybe I only picked them once. I think I picked them against St. Louis, but I picked Atlanta. I picked San Diego.
I got him twice, baby.
You got him twice. I don't know. Again, it would just be, man, it would be so impressive if they did. Put it this way. I just want to see a series go six too. Like, I don't think we have really taken a step back and talked about as a fan base, like, the CS kind of sucked in that way. Like, some of the games were really, really great.
I mean, the Phillies Padres games are pretty good.
Yeah.
Harper's home run was amazing. That game four was thrilling.
Yeah, the 4-3 first inning.
I mean, the Yankees Astros games, it felt like it felt like slow torture. I really feel like it was 2012. I think it was 12 against the Tigers. What was Raul Ibañez's year against your Orioles? Was that 2012? I think it was 2012, right? Or 11. That's the year I'm talking about. Yeah, whatever that was. Because what happened is that we beat the Orioles. And we feel like we weren't very good and didn't deserve it, kind of like against the Guardians. Mm-hmm. And we got swept by the Tigers because we all knew it. I remember that so distinctly. It's the same thing. I went to game two because ticket prices were down to $15 in that series against the Tigers. And what happened in game four of this? It was like $28 on game day. I mean, people thought it was going to rain and all of that. Sure, it got delayed. But $28 for a Yankee playoff game? Are you kidding? And I said, no, I didn't want to go. You know, I mean, that's how it felt for us. It was just so like, yeah, we know this isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
It was so painful. I mean, that's just how good the Astros were. I mean, yes, the Yankees were bad, but the Astros were just that good.
It's so funny. It's so funny to think about how it's very, very different circumstances, but it is funny to think about how Seattle lost in 18 innings and stayed and chanted, "Let's go Mariners," and showed the team their support and how happy they were. And then no one showed up to an elimination Yankee game. And when they lost, they probably just booed. They're like, not doing this.
No one cared at all. Yeah. You know, it was rough fast. It was rough.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
I was like, that was a moment of silence. Okay, so all right, here we are, World Series time. Okay, what are you predicting here? I'm predicting the Astros in five. I just think they're too good. Mm-hmm. Verlander goes out there. Framber Valdez goes out there. I guess it's I'm forgetting somebody. It's not Urquidy, not Garcia. Who's the third one that is Luis Garcia dominant for them? No, isn't there a third? Isn't
Lance
there
Lance McCullers Jr.?
I guess so. Isn't there another stud? Oh, yeah, Christian Javier.
Oh, Christian.
Oh, man. Yeah, Christian Javier is Spencer Strider. So, yeah, he's going to be great. I mean, yeah, that was like watching Christian Javier dissect them. That's how you defeat the Yankees. You throw high heaters. They can't catch up to them. And, oh, man, it was so, oh, man, it was so good. Okay, so you have that rotation. You have their pen that killed it as well. You have, obviously, their offense we talked about. It's just too much. And on the other side, it's the Phillies. I still think it's just Nolan Wheeler. Ranger Suarez, I'm happy it's worked. But it's really just Nolan Wheeler. And you got to hope that you win those games. Because I really think you're at such a significant disadvantage in the other ones. That it's just not going to go your way. Like, you could do the Ranger Suarez or Noah Syndergaard thing when it was against, like, Clevenger and Minaya. Or you're hoping that Darvish allows some home runs as he gets the ball thrown back to him at the wrong time. Right? Like, that will work. You're not going to get that against the Astros.
Yeah.
I can't. I think that Bryce Harper's just going to get fastballs up and in and breaking balls down. He's not going to get anything that he likes the entire series. He's just going to cool down. So, yeah, I'm taking Astros in five.
I'm going to say the Astros in six. I mean, I think Wheeler's looked fantastic a lot, and I think there's a winnable game there. You know, if Nola obviously has an incredible amount of upside. But I don't know. Like, you kind of hit every talking point on the head, so I'm not going to really reiterate it. I'm with you that the Astros are the better team. One thing that I wanted to quickly discuss before we wrap up here, do we need to, with this playoff performance, do we need to revisit any Harper Trout conversations?
Oh, right. No.
No, it's still like unanimous that like Trout is the better player.
Yes. I mean, I think we've underrated like the impact of him across the last decade, but you know, Mike Trout's the better player. I mean, Bryce Harper, though, is one of the players of our generation, though.
Yeah. I just wonder if there's the career trajectories for them right now are incredibly different, right? It would not surprise me if, you know, knock on wood, I'm obviously not hoping this happens, but it wouldn't surprise me if like we didn't get 162 games out of Mike Trout collectively over the next three seasons. You know what I mean? The scary back issues, the perpetual health concerns. Like, so I wonder if we do look back, you know, if in 6 or 7 years from now, or even in 10 years from now, if we get to have one of those fun trivia questions of knowing what you know now, who would you start a franchise with, peak Mike Trout or peak Bryce Harper? Is there ever going to be a world where the answer is peak Bryce Harper?
I'm just going to tell you right now, he played in 119 games and about 500 plate appearances, and Mike Trout still had 40 home runs this year.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just going to stop right there.
What did he hit? Average. What did he hit? What did he slash?
283, 369, 630 on slugging, 630 slugging. So that's an over 1,000 OPS, of course. Just about 1,100, yeah.
Wow. yeah, maybe it still is no topic.
Yeah, sorry. But wild thoughts, Fast. What is your wild thought this week?
None. Don't have one. None, zero.
What? Get out of here. I have a good one.
All right, let's hear it.
I want the World Series. I want the World Series to be a win by two.
Win by two.
It just keeps going until you win the series 5-3.
Oh, so first to four games, but win by two?
Yes.
Oh my God.
You just keep going into November, December until it ends.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's a lot of fun.
I mean, look, the owners of the ball clubs are going to be like, absolutely, more TV money, more stadium, sure, all that stuff, right? It makes it really feel like you earn it, you know? And there's constant elimination games. It's kind of like tennis in this way, right? You know, you just keep pushing it, win by two.
I think is tennis really the fun. Only major sport that involves a win by two?
Yeah, I think so.
It's funny because I feel like in every like backyard game of whatever, it's always like win by two, got to win by two.
Right.
And nowhere else do we employ it aside from tennis.
I think the World Series should be win by two.
I dig it. I wonder if there's any world in which you make it context, you remove the home field advantage. Like you do what the Super Bowl does. Or you say we're playing seven games.
I would hate that.
In Colorado.
So yeah. Okay.
You imagine every year,
you know, they say it's in Miami and still they'll have 3,000 people.
Yeah, exactly.
That is so Miami. Okay. That is going to wrap it up. And as we mentioned, it is Ranger Suarez. But thank you all so much for listening to this episode of the Nick and Alex Baseball Show. We'll be back next week talking about pretty much wrapping it up, I guess. Actually, we're going to skip next week. We're going to do in 2 weeks when the World Series is over, talking about free agents, everything like that. Because, yeah, the World Series won't be over next weekend. You know, what are we going to do? Midway through the World Series, we got first pitch Arizona to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Here we got things to do. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Nick and Alex Baseball Show. My name is Nick Pollock. Thank you so much, Alan Adair.
And my name is Alex Fast. And we'll talk to you guys soon.